Welcome to the Roots of Success podcast.
We've raised the bar.
Tap into the source of your success through real stories from real people.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to level up and get to the root of your success.
And now your host, Nate the Great Peterman.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Roots of Success podcast. I am your host, Nate the Great Peterman, coming at you, and today we have a very, very special guest. I like to call her the real estate queen, all right? Miss Amy Leong, how are you doing today?
I'm so good, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. I'm so glad that, you know, we both could find some time out of our busy schedules to really, you know, take the time to do this interview, to say the least. And for those of you wondering, you might be thinking, you know, who is Amy? Let me know a little bit more about her. I'll read a little bit about her. In just 4 short years, Amy has climbed to the top 100 agents in all of Greater Vancouver. With her extensive knowledge of the Vancouver real estate market and investment background, she is highly regarded by colleagues and agents around North America. Her degree in communications and marketing from Simon Fraser University, coupled with 10 years of investing experience from age 24, has proven to be a competitive advantage in a very competitive low inventory market. Home buyers, developers, and investors look to Amy to build their wealth for not only themselves, but for their families for years to come. Amy is teamed up with her boss babe partner, Allison Ballum, and the duo have sold 115 homes and over $82 million in real estate since January of 2018. The power duo speak and mentor other women to be leaders in business, life, and real estate. Today, Amy is focusing on listing beautiful properties and building a modular and real estate empire with passive income that will give herself and those around her true financial freedom. Wow, that's a lot, Amy.
That was a mouthful.
Right? I want to hear a little bit more about, you know, the behind the scenes, the story of you growing up, because I know, you know, personally, you know, you have a remarkable story. So kind of, you know, go about like the behind the scenes of you growing up and transforming to where you're at today, you know?
Sure. So I grew up in the suburbs, which is about 40 minutes outside of Vancouver, in a place called Surrey. Parents, you know, my mom worked at the bank. My dad was working at a grocery store. So I didn't grow up with, you know, a wealthy family by any means. We definitely were the definition of middle class. And my parents worked so hard to give us a great life. I was a very competitive gymnast growing up. So 10 years of, you know, every day going to, you know, workouts and the gym and just everything, competition. So I owe a lot to my parents. And I got to see how hard they worked to give us, you know, a better life. So, but I did have a change of mindset, I would say, growing up. So my parents, you know, after 25 years, they got divorced, and I thought, okay, life's a little bit different now. So yeah. I ended up leaving home at a very young age, and I started renting. So I knew from an early age of about 18 that I didn't want to rent for very long. I thought I had an unfortunate run-in with a landlord that didn't treat me very well. And I thought, you know what? What is this? Like, if someone that I don't regard as having, you know, the wits about them to do this properly and they're treating me like garbage, I thought, you know what? I want to be an amazing landlord one day. And I want to own a ton of properties, because I kept running into people, and we all have that. I'm sure you have too, where you run into people and you're going, well, how does this guy or this woman have so many properties or own all these, you know, apartment buildings? Like, I want to do that.
Definitely.
But then we hit a roadblock and we think, well, how do I do it? How do I actually execute? And what are the steps? And you read all of these self-help books or motivation books, and they kind of give you an overall view and they dangle a carrot. But I always found that I'd read those books and I would get super motivated, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I would only get certain things from there, and I'd want to turn it into like a practical way. Like, I didn't want to just be a dreamer. I wanted to be a practical dreamer. Mm. And that is from that amazing book, Think and Grow Rich, by Napoleon Hill. You can't just be a dreamer. You have to know how to execute your dream. Otherwise, it's just going to stay a dream. So I think once I shifted that mindset, I was kind of, you know, propelled really, really well, and still propelling for sure. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like I understand a lot more than I previously did, just, you know, being in university. So, and then I worked at TELUS for 10 years, which is a telecommunications company. And I owe a lot to that because it gave me sales skills. I learned to deal with every walk of life you could imagine. Sure. From, you know, high net worth business guy that barely would give me, you know, the time of day. He just wanted in and out, get his cell phone and zip out, to people that had absolutely nothing and needed, you know, pay-as-you-go phones and topping up their minutes. But I made best friends with all of them, treated them all the same. And I think that was a huge key to taking that into my self-employed business as a realtor and treating everyone like gold. I think that's so, so important, never to judge a book by its cover.
Straight up.
And then, yeah, I was always very business-minded. I was always thinking how I could, you know, get more revenue, have more revenue streams. But I learned that you can't do too many revenue streams at once. Like they say, oh, to be a multimillionaire, you need, you know, 7 to 8 or whatever the rule is. And I kind of get that, but you need to get a foundation of one business first. Mm-hmm. You really do. And focus. You can't be spreading yourself too thin. It just doesn't work. So I think you have to master one or two revenue streams, and then you branch out because you elevate yourself, and then you get to a level where you have the opportunity to hire people. That was a big breakthrough too, is hiring people. So yeah, going off on a tangent.
No, I love it. Let's kind of go back. I know you mentioned about your parents, they're divorced and everything. You said after 15 years?
I was 16 when they divorced.
16.
So right in grade 12, my senior year.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that wasn't very fun, that's for sure, as you know, many of us know with divorced parents. It's hard when it happens, you know, and then you're going, well, what do I do?
Right.
You know, you're visiting different homes and different places, and so it wasn't easy, but I definitely made the best of it for sure.
Mm.
Took the struggle and turned it into something good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What were some things that you did, like, because, I mean, my parents, they got divorced at 16 years old as well. So it's like, I definitely had moments where it was very tough for me just to kind of go through, I mean, high school, you know, because it's like they were separated, right? So what were, I don't know, and, you know, I got a lot of listeners and a lot of viewers, you know, they come from a divorce background as well. So what kind of advice would you give to somebody that, you know, they need a little bit of hope to kind of fill that gap? Like, just because, you know, mom and dad aren't together anymore, you know, what's that, I guess, tip of advice that you would give them?
Sure. I think first I would suggest delving into books that will help, which for me it was this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. A lot of people know that book. But the example I would say to derive from that is there's going to be your parents have their own, you know, positives and negatives, which everyone does. But can you soak up and take the best of each parent and turn that into something good for yourself? Like, I don't like when people say you're going to turn out like your parents. If your parents are alcoholics or they're drug addicts, or I believe we have a tendency, and that's inside of us, and we see it. And you are who you surround yourself with. Yes, but you have that chance to break away. You are the leader of your ship. Like, you steer that thing wherever you want to go. So, you know, I would look at both my parents and I'd pick the best of them. Like, my mom is very sweet. She's very, I would say, more insular. Mm-hmm. So she's introverted. Well, yeah,
yep.
More introverted. But then she can talk to anybody, you know, and she can work with different personalities for sure. My dad it took a little while. And, you know, he's more of like, I would say, a hothead. He's one of the nicest hotheads you'll ever meet, which is funny, but wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, and he just is so proud of my sister and I, because he wasn't able to, because he gave so much to us, he wasn't able to go and make, you know, six figures. It wasn't even going to ever happen for him. So it's nice because I think for him, he's so proud that, you know, he was more of the, not the, he was more pessimistic. So it's funny because he's my biggest fan and my biggest supporter today. But my dad was someone who I thought, rich dad, poor dad. He's so rich in knowledge, and I always bounce ideas off him. But I would say he was someone that I thought, I want to make more so I could treat him. It was never like, okay, well, my dad never made a lot of money, so I don't think I can make a lot of money. It was more like, I'm going to make the money because my parents never did. Because why can't I? And I think that's the biggest thing, is people always say, I can't see myself doing this. I can't see myself doing that. I have conversations with my friends all the time, and they just don't really think about it, or they don't believe, and it's so possible. But the people that are sitting at the top, they've figured that out a long time ago. So the quicker that you get those negative thoughts out, the quicker you're going to propel. And it doesn't matter what your parents do. It doesn't matter, you know, we were just chatting, Nate and I, about this game called like the cash flow game, and you get to pick a card of what your occupation is at the beginning of the game. And I picked janitor. So, you know, whether you sell cell phones, which is what I did for TELUS for years, or you're a janitor, or you're a teacher, or a nurse, or a doctor. Some of my clients are doctors or dentists and all the like, lawyers. They still are looking to propel themselves. So everyone has their own inner desires and their own level of success. You pick what you want to do. You focus on it and do everything you can to do it. And just don't quit and don't stop because your parents might say you can't. Like, bless my dad, but he was the one on my shoulder saying, why would you be the top realtor?
Yeah.
There's so many of them. Oh gosh. It's so, you know, he was, whoa, what are you doing? What is my daughter crazy for leaving a good paying job to go out and be self-employed with no money? And I said, Dad, I'm going to be able to do it. Excuse me. So I just knew. I knew it like inside. And I thought, I just need to learn and soak up knowledge from other people that are doing it really well. And pick and choose, just like you pick and choose from your parents, absolutely, the good stuff, soak that in. And when you see something you don't like, throw it out really quickly. Don't let that, like, try to, and if you don't know how to do that, then you need to read emotional intelligence or IQ books about being self-aware and understanding different personalities. Because some people get very sucked into things like those pyramid schemes. I hate them. Oh, God. So, sorry. I get very carried away about that. But I see people that just follow trends a lot. And it's okay. Some people, it's not for everyone to be a self-employed person. But I do think you really need to hone in on learning yourself and what you want and not just following, like, the herd, as I say. Because then you can get swept right up, right? And then you never break through or break free and do your passion, whether that's painting and not making any money, but whatever you like, you can do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. Let me ask you this. So let's kind of look at the school system a little bit. If there's one thing, you know, maybe it's a class or something like that, where you would love to basically just expand more so on and kind of just add more compared to what they teach today, what would that class be, and what would you kind of teach on, if that makes sense?
I think growing up and having, you know, the regular school system, and our teachers are amazing. Again, I have many, many best friends that are teachers, but only one of them, my really good friend, she has taught more of an entrepreneurial mindset, and financial literacy is something that is so big for our youth. I don't think they teach enough of it in schools. And before I, you know, pass on this earth, I want to make sure that we have some sort of like boss man, boss babe academy for the youngins.
Yeah.
That's been a very big passion of mine for years. because they never taught us in school. I never knew, you know, when I, you know, left home, my mom gave me a number for the lady at the bank, and she said, here you go, you can get a line of credit. And I'll never remember that. That was like, you know, one of those moments in life where you just never forget.
Yeah.
Because it's that pivotal moment where you go, why would I want to be in debt? Like, you're giving me permission to be in debt, like most people in this world. And it's not good. It's down the rabbit hole.
Right.
How do you get out of that? It's very hard once you go down that hole. So I think had I known and had I had classes in school or even just something supplementary that was there, you know, like they have math classes outside of regular school. Why don't they have maybe financial literacy programs? And maybe I haven't been looking out there, and I know that there are different things for kids starting to come up, like money clinics and things. And I'm so excited for that because it's so important. I don't want people to get like swept up in credit card debt. And then, or they go to school for so long. I was one of those people. I didn't graduate until I was 30 because I had left home. So I was renting. It was so hard for me to, you know, save money. And then all I wanted to do was buy a place. Right. So at 24, I kind of went opposite, which was, it ended up being great, but I bought a place before I graduated. So I kind of set myself back because of the down payment I came up with and all these payments. And then I had to work extra hard. So I was working, you know, 40 hours minimum a week, taking university classes, paying for, like, it was very stressful, but I worked my butt off.
Yeah.
And I still have that first property to this day. Wow. And so it's because it means something to me. It's been hard to let it go because I, you know, they say don't get emotional with properties.
Right, yeah.
You know, the rest of them I won't, but that one I'm definitely still, it's my baby,
oh,
my baby,
sure.
gold nugget. So yeah. So I think, yeah, that would, is what I would say for a school or even just if, you know, for, if I have kids and, or when I would love to have kids, but when I do, I would definitely instill in them in a young age, just financial literacy and how to save and how to, you know, invest and what do you do? What's a joint venture mean?
Yeah.
And how can you be creative to make money? Because no one shares that stuff. And I, people that know me, I am quite open about finances and different ways. And I love sitting down with people, whether it's fellow realtors or new people starting out a different business. It's my favorite, one of my favorite things to do. I don't have a lot of time these days, but
right.
when I do, I love sitting down and bouncing ideas. And it's important if you don't have someone in your life to do that with, get someone. A lot of my successful friends, they've used mentors, they've used business coaches, and it's so important. It propels you that much quicker.
Wow. No, that's deep. You know, I'm curious. I've wondered this quite a good amount, especially seeing like your social media and seeing you and Allie, of course, run around all the time. How do you, how do you balance it all? You know, like how do you balance, you know, the work compared to having a little bit of chill time, you know, because I feel like you rarely have time to yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm working on that,
yeah,
still.
I bet.
Work in progress. No, I do have people that know me on a non-business level know that my evenings are very zen for me.
I got you.
Sometimes I'll just come home and I'll just lay on the couch with my little cat and we have snuggle time and that is my downtime. Funny enough, driving is a downtime for me. I know that sounds crazy because people get so stressed driving in Vancouver. Or when I'm in between appointments, I get to call my dad and I get to chat and or my friends and turn on the tunes and crank it up. So I think we have to find our own balance. And for me, working out too, I work out at Innovative Fitness in Telus Gardens here downtown. And
nice.
Again, little things that I've implemented have started to really change. But it's, again, I do struggle with balance. When you're at, you know, if you're in like the top 1%, it's demanding.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not. You know, but again, you have to find ways. And it's been hard to even have a social life. And when I'm out having a social life, it's actually hard to shut off real estate because it's the main topic in Vancouver usually. But I do love it. So it just gravitates towards that. And I'm happy that it does. Like, it's fun and it's never boring. I'm trying to, Allie and I have tried to take mini retirements, we call them, and you know, go on a trip. We don't go for a long time, but we go for maybe 3 to 4 days and zen out. And then I just promised myself I'd go away at least like by myself once a year. I tried it for the very first time, and I'd always admired people that were able to even just eat alone and be able to travel alone. And I even saw yourself and I saw, you know, Nate going to the Wall of China, and I felt this like, oh, I wish I was there and I could teleport myself with you. Like, to have like those amazing experiences where you're, but it's so different when you're by yourself. And I think that's where I found, I never liked being by myself. So I didn't like it. I would get upset. Yeah. It took a long time. And now I crave my nights alone. And I do love being around people, and I've always been a people person, but definitely love being at home by myself now. Like last night, Saturday night, ordered Skip the Dishes.
I saw that,
and I just ate some spaghetti and I watched Netflix, and I was like, this is amazing.
Right?
So I think, but it took a while. So some people, I'm not sure how many people out there have trouble being by themselves, or they kind of get lonely, or they have that FOMO, they call it, that fear of missing out. And then you're sitting there on Instagram and you're going through and you're seeing all these people with this optically fun life.
Yeah.
And I've kind of stayed away from that, because I find that if you're experiencing FOMO quite a bit and you're thinking you're not good enough and you're thinking you're always comparing yourself to a lot of people on Instagram, I definitely don't go on it as much. I do for business, but personally, I think it's good to kind of get your core people that you want to follow, that you idolize, in good ways, again, healthy ways, and then focus on them. Don't focus on the stuff that's like, I call it riffraff, like the stuff that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you watch someone jumping into a pool head first, cracking their head open. Maybe it's funny for 30 seconds, but that's not going to get you pretty far in life, you know? So I've definitely stopped watching so many cat videos. For me, it's the cats of Instagram.
You watch like those 30, 60 second clips as cats like jumping off the recliners and
rawr. Yeah. Not going to say I don't love them. Like, I definitely, but it just depends what you want and how far and how fast you want to go, right? Like, people say it takes time to master. One of my very good friends who does extremely well and manages over $50 million real estate fund, he always says, you know, do you want to go fast, you know, and achieve and take those, it takes 10,000 hours to master something. Well, how many hours are you going to waste on related things? Or are you going to start today on your 10,000 hours, right? Like, it is, and I really do find that I don't know what I'm at for hours on investing in real estate and my modular homes and like that type of realm, but I know I've put in a lot of work, and my one wish was that I started earlier, even though some people think, oh my gosh, 24, so young.
Yeah.
Now I'm 34, but I'm so excited for, you know, people like my assistant, Erin, who is, you know, just turned 20, and she's already, she wrote an offer on a place like 2 weeks ago. I'm so proud that, like, to see that shift mentally, because she wants things quicker now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, my gosh, like, she's just going to be a little rocket.
Yeah.
And then we just hired a new person on our team. And same thing, you know, 24 years old. And it's just amazing to see. And I want to see that for so many people out there that are in their early 20s or even earlier, you know, so, or later.
Yeah.
I meet people that are 50 and they're just buying their first property, and I'm so excited and happy for them. So again, it's what do you want and how fast do you want it and who do you want it with? Easy to achieve if you start somewhere and you stay focused and put your head down. Don't look at cats of Instagram.
No, that's so true. I'm curious, what's your, what would you consider is like your hidden talent or your gift that, you know, makes you thrive so well that has gotten you to this point? Cause it's like me personally, I've always considered my gift has been able to connect with people on that deeper level. You know what I mean? But like, what would you say has been, you know, your biggest gift to have you just succeed to what you've done so far? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely can say that you're good at connecting with people, Nate. Everyone loves Nate. But yeah, I think one of my business partners nicknamed me Sparky. And Sparky, that kind of stuck. And we used to hang out in his basement and put on motivational videos and listen to Les Brown and that. Yeah, yeah, all those powerful people in the Stanford, you know, speech. So there's just, I think that stuck for me was Sparky. I do think I have the ability to light people up, and it lights me up. And if I had a bulb on the top of my head, it would like spark literally every time I talk to people and get excited about something, which is probably every day, all day long. I do love life. Like this is a little bit deep, but my biggest fear is dying. I just love the people on this planet. I love where we live. I love just everything around me at all times. And I lost someone very close to me when I was younger. And I think watching him pass away was very, very hard and something that most people won't have to go through that early on. And he was only 28 years old. So yeah, that really changed me. So I want everything fast, right? So my biggest thing is I love high efficiency in everything. And if I don't see something being efficient, I like to change it right away or suggest how it can be better. And that comes off in a lot of avenues. And I think that's why people come to me and enjoy getting advice. And I love giving it to them. And absolutely, no judgment on anything that they're doing. I love to know what's going on in their head.
Yeah.
And listen and give them advice and spark them up. And, you know, even just my dad was always like, oh, you'd be a great nurse. Because I love it. You know, if someone's sick or thanks, if someone's sick, you just want to cheer them right up.
Right.
So I just love sparking people. Like, I feel like there's a fire in all of us. There's a button to be pushed and it activates you. And it's like, what is that button for you?
Yeah.
For me, it was all the people in my life that told me I couldn't make it. I've had quite a bit of that actually. And I took that negativity and I thought, you know what? Pretty much screw you. I'm going to do this.
Right.
And it was tough. It was like, Kate, this person doesn't think I can make it. This person doesn't think I can make it. This person told me that if I hit like 100 grand a year, that's like making it. No, I want to make $1 million a year. Yeah. Why can't I? This guy over here, Joe Schmo's doing it. I want to do it.
Yeah.
So, but again, not everyone wants to make $1 million a year or have a massive house, and that's okay, but do what you want to do. Like, if you're in something that's crappy, get out of it. And who's going to spark you to do it? Hopefully this, listening to this might spark you, because I came from absolutely nothing and was able to propel. But the difference is I don't ever want to stop. Because I think life's so beautiful and there's so many things we can learn.
Yeah.
I want to learn, if it's not going to be real estate, I'm going to do it in something else. And I think that's the key is, you know, you're a very good people connector, Nate. So
you
can go and do this in any realm, in any business, if you put your mind to it.
Exactly.
Right? If you believe it. And that's how I feel. If it, you know, real estate was great, but you know, I was also top sales in TELUS. So it wasn't, it's followed through in different occupations. So my biggest thing and advice for people out there is if you're at a job where you don't like it and you have a crap boss and or people that piss you off at work and you feel like you're better than your job, which a lot of us do, get out. Get out yesterday. Do not be afraid. If you know you're a good worker, do you know how many people are suffering out there needing good workers? The worst thing that can happen is you go back to that job or that occupation. That's the scariest thing that will happen.
That's so true.
They'll always want you back if you're that good. And if you're not, then you should get out anyway.
Yeah, right.
You're probably not respected because of that. So I do think not to be scared. I think once I cut the cord of that corporate world and I ventured out, I thought, this is so scary. I was freaking out. But I owned it. I did it. I jumped right in. And I never looked back. And I'll always do that in anything I do. And I hope that that inspires people out there today.
No, absolutely. I mean, you got to faith it. You know, you can't live life, you know, with the what if statement. Like, man, what if, you know, I took that opportunity, or what if I went out on my own? Like, sometimes you just got to do it, you know? I mean, I'm 22 years old. I mean, there's been moments where I've been out on the streets in the airports, and it's like, shoot, man, when am I going to book my next flight? You know, like, you just didn't know. And it's like, that's part of the grind. That's part of the work that you got to put in to really just become the 1%, you know, like the 1%, it's not just given to you. You got to earn it. So I'm curious, Amy, for, you know, social media. I know you're on social media a lot. And of course, you know, for those of you who follow Amy, you know, she likes to use her little bear filters.
I love the voices. I think they're hilarious.
Right? You're so funny when you do that. It's funny, whenever we first met, you put them bear filters on me, and I was just like, oh, this is new. I never did this before.
Yeah.
So what is it, let's say you're a real estate agent listening, or just somebody listening right now that uses Instagram a lot. How is it that you recommend to realtors, or just anybody, how is it that you recommend that they should use Instagram, and how can they use it to the best of their advantage? Because people say that they're in, I don't know, I guess we're in like a down market or something right now. That's what they say. But how is it that you've been able to use social media to your advantage to help you kind of put your message out there more, if that makes sense?
Okay. I think, well, Instagram is quite big for Ali and I. We use it daily. For those who follow us, we try to stay consistent. Authentic, I think, is key. I had one, we could say a hater, say that, you know, oh, you know, stop putting those ears on or the filter. And I thought, oh, you know what? It's funny. Like, I have a soft side and a funny side, and love like comical things. And
you have to, and
I can be a bull sometimes, but for the most part, like, have fun, you know, show people that you're a real person and that you have humility and that you're kind and compassionate. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, that you're a rock star and that you can negotiate and, of course, you know, doing well. But I think I love to show, like, my great uncle Harry, who's 92, and I grocery shop for him every week. Like
A&W
Burgers, right? Like, that's a joy of mine, right? You talk about downtime. Bringing him an A&W Burger is my downtime. And we sit, and he's been in his house for 7 years. I like to show that because I think it's important, like, to spend time with your elders. And then I like to show that we have fun. Like, you can be in a job, and yes, it's very high pressure. And yes, like, I think about my job every day, you know, especially when the market isn't as, you know, active right now. Doesn't mean it's not good. I think that's where we want to show people still that, yeah, we have sold. I think we're at 30 properties now since January.
Wow.
So in a down market, you can make just as much money, if not more.
Yeah.
But how are you being creative? Are you going to sit on the couch and say, oh, it's a down market, I'm not doing anything? Well, I'm going to go and sell 3 properties while you just said that.
Cool.
So, well, that's the difference, right? And so there's a little tiger inside Ali and I, right? So we want to keep propelling no matter what market.
Yeah.
And that's where we want to show that too on social media, that we are always, you know, crafting our business and we're, you know, making things better in marketing. You know, what can you do better at all times? So, and have fun doing it, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
That's, you can have fun in any business that you're doing. But being authentic and thinking of purpose, I think, is key too. Mm-hmm. Every time I post something, I think, you know, how is this going to reflect out to the world? You know, if I put my silly ears on and, you know, that's a theme as right. much as, you know, it is silly and I have fun with it, but it's a theme. And yeah. now when I go around, people know that I like having ears on. Like my friend, and he's also like a big realtor, but John Tsai was laughing at me, right? yeah. So John was following me and Allie around at our Medallion Awards gala the other night. And he's like, ha ha ha, this is Amy and Allie without their ears on. And he's recording. And I thought, oh gosh, John, you're so hilarious. But it's just a funny thing. And then when I meet people, it's just a nice little icebreaker. And I never thought it would be, because I just enjoy doing it by myself. And right. whether people look at it or not, I don't mind. I laugh yeah. at them myself. right. yeah. But it's just fun, right? So everyone has their own thing. And then also for agents, I think it's important to also ask when you post something, is it going to bring people to you? Like, how are you attracting people? Like, are they relating to you? Are they, you know, how do they look at you? Yeah. And so I think for us, for our social media, I've always tried to be very open and make sure that people know, like, ask me a question. I don't mind. You know, it's getting busier and busier these days, but so I try to get back to everybody. But I want to know how I can help them. Like, that's a huge thing. And if it's a down market, well, then your assets are down. Well, how do we change that? Or how do we go and find something that's going to offset that loss?
Yeah.
You know, again, just because we're in a down market doesn't mean half the population of Vancouver just, you know, went over, you know, or left.
Right.
We're getting more population. We're getting yeah. huge job opportunities that are coming into Vancouver. And we're not going anywhere. We're still a young city. So again, what is your mindset? Are you a negative Nancy or are you a positive Peter? Yeah, you know, absolutely. what are you going to be? Yeah. I'm going to be positive because everyone loves positivity. And that's a thing. You're always positive, Nate. And that's something that people keep coming to you and attracting to you. Because you're never going to not be. What's the point? Life's short, right? Oh, let's live it and yeah. rock it.
No, that's so true. No, I appreciate that. I definitely want to be respectful of your time, Amy, of course. So yeah, you know, where can the people follow you on social media? Do you got like, of course you got Instagram, but like what are the different outlets that you'd like people to kind of check you out on?
So my Instagram is Amy Ames. I never changed it. So AmyAmzz, or as you guys say it in the States, ZZ. I feel like Jay-Z. Yeah, so Instagram mainly. And then I don't really use Facebook as much as Instagram now, mm-hmm. as most of us don't. But LinkedIn, I'm on there, just Amy Leong. And then we'll be getting a new website. So it will be amyandally.com. Allie with two L's, right? Ally yeah. .com. But other than that, yeah, I would love to, if anyone listening wants to reach out, I do not mind at all answering some questions, and I hope everyone out there gets sparked and gets their 10,000 hours started now.
Hey, you heard it from the queen herself, good old Amy Leong. I will attach all of the links to her social handles, as well as the website. I know it's, you know, it'll be coming out soon in the description below. So feel free to check her out. And Amy, again, I appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much, Nate, for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Roots of Success podcast. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. I really appreciate that, as well as a like and a subscribe. Stay connected between shows by following me on Instagram at NateTheGreat. And remember, guys, success starts here. Keep winning. Nate the Great signing off.